From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letton. In September, the head of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, Jonathan Hayes, testified before Congress on how they were handling unaccompanied minors.
I believe that a child should not remain in ORR care any longer than the time needed to find an appropriate sponsor.
Hayes said migrant kids were being reunited with their families much more quickly.
As of the end of August of this year, the average length of time that a child stays in HHS custody is approximately 50 days, which is a dramatic decrease of over 40% from late November 2018, when the average length of care was 90 days.
What Hayes didn't tell Congress is that some kids are being held much longer. Reveal immigration reporter Aura Bagato has learned about a girl from Honduras who had been in custody for more than 6 years, since she was 10 years old. This girl has spent a big chunk of her childhood being moved around from shelter to shelter. Aura found out that the girl had family here in the U.S., a family she wanted to be with, and that family wanted to be with her. For reasons we can't figure out, the United States government cut off communication between them. The last time they were in touch was 5 years ago. As Aura was reporting on this case, she found out about an important hearing that was about to happen.
It's Thursday, January 16, around 11 in the morning. I'm here in Portland because I found out that the girl has an upcoming court date. It's today.
Aura couldn't bring her recorder into the hearing, so she taped these notes in her hotel room across the street from the immigration courtroom in downtown Portland.
It's just heavy energy in that room. I've heard from several sources that she wanted to voluntarily deport herself.
Aura joins me now in the studio. And Aura, who is this young girl you're talking about?
Yeah, so the girl whose case I've been following, we're not going to use her name because she's a minor and she's experienced an incredible amount of trauma. She's 17. She's originally from Honduras. And she migrated to this country with her brother, and he's 14 now. They were in a foster family, but then they were torn apart and have had a very different experience from one another in the system. His story is a whole other case in and of itself, but today we're going to focus on the girl. She's spent longer in federal immigration custody than any other kid I've ever heard about. And at immigration court, she was asking to leave the country voluntarily.
She's been in U.S. immigration shelters for 6 or 7 years. I mean, that's nearly half her life.
I had to wrap my head around it at first because her case has thrown into question for me just how much or how little the government is really doing to try and reunify these children with their families.
Also, I'm doing a little math here, and that means that she was separated from her family during the Obama administration.
Right. So we usually associate family separation with the Trump administration, and we know that it happened under Obama. I just didn't know what that exactly meant until I heard about this girl.
So you said you've talked with her family.
Right. And they told me that they hadn't heard anything about her for 5 years. And so when I told them that I was going to Portland for the case, it was the first time they'd even heard that she had a court date. And they asked me to relay a message to her.
And while you were in your hotel room, you were getting those materials together to share with her.
So I've printed out a photo of a couple of people that I think that she probably will remember. And I think I'm going to write that message on there. It basically tells her, don't sign your deportation order. More specifically, you can't sign that deportation order because we're still here. We miss you so much. We can't wait to see you again. The family, you know, very much wants to have her back. So I'm looking forward to seeing her today, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so let's pause on the court case for a minute and just go back. How did this girl get to the point where she's asking to be deported? I mean, what happened to her?
This is exactly what I wanted to know from the moment I heard about the case. I didn't have much to go on. I only knew that the girl had been in the system for more than 6 years and that she'd mentioned the name of an aunt who was possibly living in Honduras. I was finally able to find that aunt. She wasn't in Honduras. She was right here in the United States. So this aunt helped raise the girl along with the abuelita, with the grandmother. And I came to find out that she's the person that's named on government documents as the girl's potential sponsor back in 2013 and 2014, which means that she's the one that the U.S. government was supposed to give the girl back to after they separated her from her family at the border. And I should say that we're not naming many of the people in this story because they're victims of trauma or underaged or simply worried about being deported. Some people have wanted to be named, like the girl's grandmother, Doña Amalia. She lives with the girl's aunt in North Carolina. I went to visit them. They live in the countryside where agricultural fields dominate the landscape. She lives in a very small home with a big brood of chickens that she feeds kitchen scraps to, and three little puppies lope around. They're still learning how to run. That's Doña Amalia. Every time I meet her, she wears really bright clothing with her hair tucked under a kerchief, and she wears these big frilly aprons, and the wrinkles on her face and her hands are deep. And at 94 years old, they give us a preview of how much life she's seen. From her and from other family members, I've learned the backstory of how some of the family came to the U.S. In 2012, Doña Amalia's grandson was brutally murdered. He was shot, and the vehicle that he was driving was set ablaze, melting off whole parts of his body. His death marked one of roughly 7,000 homicides in Honduras that year.
And we should say Honduras is a pretty small country. Yeah, so 7,000 is a big number.
Yeah, it's about the size of Louisiana. And as the family made arrangements for his funeral, they also mapped out their escape. They'd sometimes received threats to their lives and well-being, which they'd previously pushed aside. But now those threats no longer felt hollow. Doña Amalia and the family made their way first to the capital in Honduras, then north to Mexico, and then finally to the United States. They wanted to be here first so that they could set up for the others who were still on their way. A few weeks later, the girl, her brother, another aunt, and a cousin arrived at the border, and the girl and her brother are separated from that aunt and cousin pretty much right away. This isn't uncommon. In fact, it's standard practice to separate any child from an adult who isn't their birth mother or their birth father.
Did immigration officials keep the kids together, though?
At first, yes. The two kids were shuffled around together, first to foster care in Oregon, and then, sources tell me, to foster care in Massachusetts. The girl had a really tough time being away from her family, and it kept getting worse the longer she was in. The brother and the sister would call Doña Amalia from time to time and tell them how they were doing.
La niña, sí, se golpeaba ella sola, se cortaba. Cada rato la metían al hospital.
Doña Amalia here, she was telling me, the girl? Yeah, she'd hit herself. She'd cut herself with knives.
Varias veces, no solo una. Varias. Usted viera.
¿Qué tipo de hospital?
Ya saber, ese hospital era allá. Era cuando estaban allá ellos.
They kept putting her in the hospital, she told me, a lot of times, not just once, lots of times. And so I asked her, what kind of hospital? And she said, who knows?
Ella se golpeó, ella pegó, como por ejemplo en uno de esos, ¿ves? En un filo de esos.
She hit herself. She hit herself with something sharp, she told me, like one of those. So she was pointing at the wall, and I asked her, do you mean the wall? And she said, yes, like the wall. And from there, we never knew anything else about her. Nothing. Nothing at all.
Does the family know why she was hurting herself?
They told me that she had never harmed herself before coming to the United States. One family member says that the girl got the idea that if she hurt herself, she'd get attention and they'd release her back to her family.
So up to this point, the brother and the sister were together, and U.S. policy is to release minors to their family members or a suitable sponsor. Do we know why they were never released to their family?
That's unclear, Al. There's one theory that because the girl isn't blood related to Doña Amalia and the aunt, government officials didn't want to turn her over. But her brother is blood related, and so that theory sort of flies out the window. It could be that the government thought the family wasn't fit for some reason. The family says they don't know, that they didn't hear any explanation from the government, and I haven't been able to get an answer either.
Did the family have any documentation of this?
Absolutely. They had a lot of documentation that they tried their best to prove to the government that they were indeed the family of these two children and that they were fit and that they wanted the children back. So there's no doubt that the government identified this family as the sponsoring family. The girl was in touch with the family through the beginning of 2015, but then the phone calls stopped. The family didn't hear from them or anything about them for 5 years.
La enterraron.
That's Doña Amalia again telling me they buried her. The government buried her. And that line has really stuck with me. She's saying that the government buried this child. They silenced her underground. The family says they kept calling the phone numbers that they had for the case manager and the caseworker that they had previously been in touch with, but nothing. No one answered. Weeks went by, and those turned into months, and at some point, the phone number that they had was disconnected. I recently tried calling two phone numbers that I found on documents associated with the caseworker at the time. One was out of order, and the other belonged to a new user.
So this family is no longer hearing from the kids. They can't get anyone from the government to respond. So what was it like for this family?
For this family, Al, this wasn't family separation. For them, these children were disappeared.
Nosotros no sabíamos si estaban. Eso era que yo me moría de llorar. Que decía, ellos estarán muertos. ¿Cómo estarán, Dios mío? ¿Cómo estarán estas criaturas sufriendo? Desnuditos, aguantando hambres. Viera.
We didn't know where they were. That's the thing. I was dying from tears. I'd ask, are they dead? How are they? My God. How must those children be? Suffering, naked, hungry? And the family was so petrified of the government itself, not just of government officials, but also of contractors associated with the whole shelter system. So attorneys and advocates and caseworkers and case managers. For Doña Amalia, she called on the one authority she's always placed her faith in, God.
No llamaba a mi señor, padrecito. Yo lo llamaba. Yo va. Tú sos poderoso. Tú sos maravilloso, padrecito.
I called on my God. I called on him. Jehovah, you are powerful. You are wonderful, Father. Relieve me from this. Please bring down an angel from the sky. They said on television that all of the children that were taken from their families have to be returned. They said that. Jesus, it's truly terrible. In the end, there is really no equal comparison. It's as if they were dead, as if they were dead. We knew nothing, nothing. And it was clear over several days talking with her in person that she thinks about the kids all of the time. It's not like there were certain things that reminded her of the kids. It was constant. None of the family out in North Carolina or in Honduras had heard anything about the girl or the boy until I started poking around.
I'm talking to Reveal's Auto Bogado about a case of a 17-year-old girl from Honduras who's been held in U.S. custody for 6 years. When we come back, Auto tracks down what happened to her during that time and what comes next. This is Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.